This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hey, we live. Yo. How you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm good. How you feeling?
I can't even mess with you. You acting up already, bro. Oh, I can't be messing with you, dog. Hey, man, welcome to the DLW live show where we get to talk about what we want to talk about. That's why we jumped on.
Yes, Sirski.
Man, it's a weekday when we're recording, but we had a lot of news that happened within the span of 48 hours. So the Paco episode just dropped. And then I texted Cole. I was like, hey, dude, K-Dot, hey, Luca, AD, I can't wait 2 weeks to record this. And yeah, he's just a teen. It's a weeknight. I mean, like, So I had to call an audible. I called up my guy, my brother from you acting up, bro. You acting up, bro. Hey, man, it's your host. My name is Darius Williams, at the doctor, if you care to be formal. You can follow me at the DL Williams on all social media. Again, this platform that I made with DLW, it's all about just being able to talk about what I want to talk about through the lens of what I believe in particular with my faith. But man, the people that I have are just friends on this show. They're just friends. And when I look at this brother right here, man, if I were to kindly introduce him before he absolutely roasts me and flames me, is Chris, aka Mr. If I Wasn't Married, I Would Still Try to Steal Your Sister, aka stop. Why you shake your head like that, bro? If I wasn't saved, I'd probably beat your mister.
Pause.
Oh my God, you acted up bro. Oh man. Yo. On some real stuff, man. Chris is just one of my favorite people in the world. He's a young man that I've got to see really grow up and come of age. Man, when I tell you some of the stuff that we've gone through, Chris, one of my favorite stories with you is, and I think this is one of the days in which things really changed for our relationship. We were playing basketball out here at Kenlock. For those from St. Louis, you know about Kenlock courts. And at the time, I was just coming around, and I was just starting to invest in your life, pouring into your life. And we were playing some basketball. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I was crushing Chris in the paint. It was disgusting. It was nasty.
Yeah.
Oh man. But Chris was having a little bit of a bad day, and we know why. But he got really frustrated about a play. And I remember him, man, just wanting to fight me, like physically fight me. And it's one of those things where as a man, I'm not afraid of anything, but as a man of God, I have the wisdom and discernment to know what someone needs. And I remember just telling Chris, I'm not going to fight you. I love you. We're done playing basketball, but we can talk later. And we did. And we drove home. Cree was pissed. And we sat down and we had a conversation. And I think it was that moment where I knew the brother that you were going to be, even as I was trying to disciple and mentor you. But just seeing where you were at in that place, the lows. We're going to talk about mental health later. And to see the man that you are today, from sort of standing next to me wanting to fight me, to being a person where I can stand next to you at your wedding. Like, that really is the story arc of me and Chris, man. And so I present to y'all, man, a rapper, a marketing guru, social media icon, yet to come. But also, man, he really is an amazingly talented writer. He writes children's books as well as creating an animation and audio series called Beverage City. He's an unbelievably versatile young man that I've got to see grow up before my eyes into the man we see today. So let's give a symbolic round of applause for my brother, Chris. Welcome to the show. I can't with you, bro. This episode is already going to be wild. I couldn't find nobody else, y'all.
I appreciate it.
I can't mess with you, man.
Oh, we forgot. We got another special guest in the building.
Who?
LeBron James.
Oh, my goodness.
He takes the hat off. He definitely looks like him with the hairline. Just saying.
Oh, man. You acted up, bro.
But no, for real, though, like, I just want to say thank you for having me.
Pause. Hey. Nah, man, you started it, bro. Let me mature. Let me be a grown man, bro.
I know. It's an honor to be here. I really appreciate it. Like, basically echoing everything that you said about me. Like, you, for sure, my brother, big brother. I appreciate everything that you've done for me. And yeah, I can't wait to get this show on the road. You know what I'm saying?
All right. All right, let's get into it, man. Let's jump into our first topic then. Love it. As we transition, man, make sure that you like and subscribe or follow on all social media and podcasting platforms, man. Make sure that you rate us with 5 stars, man. It all helps. It all helps. We want to build this brand, build this community. So join us, man. Stay connected with us. Because look, like I said, we starting out in the basement, right? We gonna grow from here. So I'm really excited. But to start off, our first topic is Chris's favorite rapper of all time. Kendrick Lamar. He absolutely swept the Grammys from a rapper's perspective.
Kendrick just opened his mouth.
Oh,
I might just give him a Grammy right now.
Hey, we talk about Kendrick being a prophet. Maybe there was something about Drake. Just saying. Oh, man. No, man. So just to contextualize for those who are way late on this, man, General Grammys, Kai Cenat finally shook Kanye West's hand. There was zero beef. We got to mention that. Beyonce, she secured not only her first ever album of the year for Cowboy Carter, but she also was the first black woman to win that award since Lauryn Hill in 1999 with the legendary album To This Day.
Okay.
But Beyonce also won Best Country Album, which is crazy. Black woman. She popped off for real. After she didn't win, she popped off, bro.
Who else was nominated?
I don't know who was nominated for the country album.
Kind of like Shaboozy Cole.
Shaboozy. Oh, man. Dude, Shaboozy is kind of cold. Was Post Malone nominated? Because he's full country now, right?
His album was fire.
That's a whole different conversation.
You know, Lil Nas X, like, he... Never mind.
Whoa, okay. See, man, this is what happens when you got an emergency podcast and you got to call it a favor. You,
Old Town Road, you know, that's a country classic.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Huge, amazing tributes to the stuff that's been happening in Los Angeles, man, the wildfires. Man, and which just also reminds me, man, just absolute tragedies going on this weekend between the flight to DC and just the, man, just the wildfires that have happened. I feel like this world, 2025, has already started off with a whirlwind. So, man, continue prayers for everything happening in Los Angeles. Genuine, sincere prayers for the families also with the plane. Man, I'm tearing up thinking about it, man. But amazing tributes that night. I didn't actually watch the Grammys. I'm just kind of summarizing some of the things. But from the highlights that I saw, the thing that we got to talk about. We got to talk about it, Chris. So I'm going to contextualize this a little bit more. Chris is the biggest Drake fan, Stan, Glazer, Glazer in the world.
That's too far.
My goodness gracious.
That's DJ Academics.
Oh, whoa. That was last episode. We're not going to touch that one again. And, man.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Drake's music.
Fan is.
I ain't a stan. Like, a stan is somebody that literally, like stalker levels. That ain't me.
Okay, I'm still learning all the lingo. I thought Stan was, I didn't know it was that deep.
You ain't hear the song? Eminem broke it down.
Oh, yeah, fair. Speaking of that, Mariah Carey might have the best diss record of all time. She's the only one to solo and knock out Eminem in a diss, in a beef.
Did you hear his diss back to her?
Nah, Mariah Carey's joint was crazy. How you sing this somebody, bro?
Easily.
Oh my goodness.
You hear Chris Brown, what he did to Quavo?
Okay. All right. Kendrick Lamar, his achievements include Record of the Year for Not Like Us, Song of the Year for Not Like Us, Best Rap Report Performance for Not Like Us, Best Rap Song for Not Like Us, and Best Music Video Visual Storytelling for Not Like Us. The pivot here being the last person to win a Grammy for a diss record was Drake, back to back.
Rightfully so, you know.
But Kendrick won Record of the Year with a diss record. This is why we're talking about it tonight.
You see, though, I don't know, because, I mean, Sticky was fire, I think, you know what I'm saying? You know Sticky? No. By Tyler, the Creator?
I don't listen to a lot of secular music, I'm not going to lie to you. But I did listen to Not Like Us. Yeah. A minor.
Eminem was fire, too.
Nah, come on, bro. Let's talk about this, bro. We got it. This is why you're here, man. You know, I could have easily went on with another Kendrick fan. I could have easily went on with somebody who, you know, wanted to really, you know, talk about the significance of this. But I figured Chris, who is the Drake fan, would have some strong opinions about Not Like Us sweeping the rap Grammys in this way. And so, man, I want to start by just hearing your take. I'm just going to listen. I might even mute up for a second.
Oh, my gosh. Look here. So, first of all, Drake was right. Kendrick just opened his mouth. Somebody give him a Grammy right now. It's like, come on now. Like, bruh. And we all know the Grammys be rigged. Yes. It was
for those listening, I'm muted right now. I'm letting him get his bars off.
Just like the time when Macklemore won over Kendrick, Drake. Who else was nominated? I think Jay-Z too. And Kanye. Come on now. We know the Grammys is rigged. Now, Grant, I'll give you this. Not Like Us, that is a banger. It did a lot for the hip hop culture and stuff. And that's cool.
But oh,
like,
okay. Hey, clip that.
Oh my god. No, you good. But anyways, it did a lot. I give you that with Not Like Us. But, like, come on now. Like, for a song that basically is all lies.
Okay, so, again, we want to make sure. PDFL, you know, we're not going to use any terminology. We're a clean podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they got video footage, though. Was it the 17-year-old girl?
No, he remember he backed away from her. When they were on the stage, Drake backed away from her.
He backed away from what? Chris.
Like he backed off like he was like, oh,
we can pull up the footage. What are we talking about? Chris.
He didn't do nothing with her.
He kissed her twice, I think. Chris. Now, to be fair, even if it's not true, not PDF foul, right? Not PDF foul. It's still rap beef.
Yeah.
And so anything goes in rap beef. Like, that's how I feel about it. Anything goes with a rap beef. It has to.
That's true. But at the same time, though, when you like, because I didn't even agree with Drake when he talked about Kendrick being, like, talking about him hitting his wife and stuff. I even thought that was like,
yeah, there's a part of me as a hip hop fan.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
And Christian. That's like, yeah, man, that's wicked. That's ugly. And then there's the other part of me that's a hip hop fan and understands the culture. That's like, man, it really is no holds bar. It's like rap battle. You know, we both are big rap battle fans.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's so crazy. The culture within rap battling, people say some crazy stuff, bro. Arsenal is one of the most disrespectful rappers I've ever heard. A Ward, who's I would argue is probably the best in the world right now. Christian, actual brother in Christ. He be saying some wild stuff.
But the thing is, a lot of times it be like true stuff. Cause here's the thing. If then anybody could basically win a rap battle, all I gotta do is make up something about you.
Yeah, but it's more than that though, man. It's so cerebral. This is the thing I just need you to get in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was as much a conspiracy. I think Kendrick Lamar won all these Grammys because he just was cerebral in a way that was so, man, it was wicked. It was so like in pragmatic. It was very detailed oriented. I mean, homie knew he had a banger with Not Like Us, I think. And it was when he hit Family Matters, when Drake dropped Family Matters and he hit him with Meet the Grams. Like he knew the somber mood of Meet the Grams. And then he dropped something we would never expect, which is a number one record, a hit record. Like that by itself was surreal. But then the music video, we can break down the music video. We can break down the pop out concert. We can break out the fact that he was wearing a Canadian tuxedo at the Grammys. Like homie thought about every single second. That's why he won, man.
Oh my God.
That's why he won these records. Not Like Us is symbolic of a dude who is a Marvel supervillain in real life. Like that's what happened, bro.
I mean, like I said, I don't doubt that Kendrick is cerebral and thinks about a lot of stuff. But come on now. I feel like people, it'd be like some of the wildest stuff, and people be like, oh yeah, Kendrick totally mapped this whole thing out. He knew this would happen. I'd be like, all right, let's simmer down now.
Okay.
Like it be getting out of control sometimes.
Yeah.
With some of the stuff that you see like on the internet regarding like, I just be like, nah, bro. Like y'all doing too much.
Hold up. Well, I'm about to pull up. Oh, bro, we gonna talk about this, bro. Keep going. Give me some more stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Look, first and foremost, like I said, I don't doubt that Kendrick thinks about all of these things and is very cerebral. But like some things, I honestly think is a reach.
All right, man.
Now, I do think
nah.
The tuxedo, that probably, yeah, he probably did think about that.
This dude, Kendrick, is crazy, bro. Now, we got to talk about this, man. We about to react to what I would argue is probably KDOT's greatest 16 bars of all time. If this right here, if this doesn't tell you that Kendrick actually thinks about every single thing he does, I don't know what else to say to you, Chris. So we're going to react to this mug real fast.
When Kendrick Lamar said, "Quantum physics could never show you the world I was in," he wasn't joking. The line is from Kendrick's feature on Pusha T's Nostalgia, and he continues by describing his childhood during the crack epidemic, using lines that feature the numbers 9 and 10. "When I was 10, back when 9 ounces had got you 10, and 9 times out of 10, don't pay attention, and when there's tension in the air, nines come with extensions." When you add up these 9s and 10s, you get 87. Why 87? "I was born in 87, my granddaddy..." The hidden sum being its birth year ties into the verse's childhood theme. But why use only 9s and 10s? 10 plus 9 is 19, completing the birth year in full, 1987. But he also specifically used 3 9s and 6 10s. Why? "I said, daddy, one day I'ma get you right with 36 zips." A zip of is an ounce, and 36 ounces is a brick. And speaking of bricks, Kendrick cites one of these in the verse's climactic line. "Go figure,
every verse is a brick." Come on, bro. Stop playing with me. Yeah, stop playing with me. That's not even it, bro. Hold up.
"Your son dope, nigga." Kendrick calls himself dope, equating the value of his verse to a brick of cocaine. And that's why. When Kendrick Lamar said, "Quantum physics could never show you the world I was in." He wasn't joking. The line is from Kendrick's feature on Pusha T's Nostalgia. Come on, bro.
You can't tell me a man who literally rapped 16 bars to prove that he was dope, literally didn't have this whole thing planned out from the beginning, bro. Stop playing with me, bro. Down to the tuxedo. Not down to the jean suit tuxedo. That's called a Canadian tuxedo. Come on, bro. You know what he's doing, bro. I bet you there's going to be 1,000 videos dissecting the Kendrick Lamar halftime Super Bowl, because 90% of what he's going to do is going to be a Drake diss. How much you would have bet, bro? Let me fix my camera.
Not if the lawsuit get him first.
No way. No way. He's already on record saying he's playing not like us.
When he say that?
He did. Hold up.
I don't remember hearing anything about that. Actually, like, saying, like, "Yo, I'm going to perform." Now, like, oh, he said it at the Grammys?
I don't think he said it at the Grammys. "Perform not like us." Yeah, hold up. I read this somewhere. Literally. Oh, man. Maybe I misread that somewhere, man. Dude, there's no way he's not playing it. Literally, at the Grammys, if you see some of the clips, you got folks like Taylor Swift and Beyonce dancing to that record is crazy. And for him not to perform it
would be wild, he got a bop on his hands. But, I mean, I don't know how it would work, because I know...
Man, for those who are watching on YouTube, we're looking at an article from the LA Times that says if Kendrick Lamar calls Drake a PDF foul at the Super Bowl, is that defamation? Does he actually win that lawsuit? I don't know, man. This is super interesting stuff, bro.
You need a lawyer to look at that.
Dude, here's the thing, though, man. you started off by saying you acknowledge the fact that Drake also said some things.
Yeah.
But that's rap battling. We talked about this in the first episode. Shout out to Cole. We talked about this in the first episode. When you enter a rap battle, you're going to say some things. You're going to hear some things. You can't take it personally. That's just the nature of hip hop.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, though, like,
dude, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, he going
when it comes to the lawsuit, I don't agree with it in terms of the hip hop standpoint. But I do understand from a human standpoint.
Oh, my God.
Don't nobody want to be called a PDF.
There's going to be 500 million people around the world from their televisions and in the stadium saying, "A minor." It is. He going to stop it and do it 3-4 times. The same verse. Like the pop out concert.
That'd be wild. I don't think he got enough time. He on a time limit with the Super Bowl.
I don't know, man. It's interesting. Let me ask you this, though. I think this solidifies, if KDOT wasn't already in your GOAT conversation, for me, in terms of secular hip-hop, sweeping the Grammys with a diss track like Not Like Us is crazy.
Yeah.
Objectively, Chris. Like, separate Drake, Kendrick for a second. Not Like Us just won record of the year. And he called Drake a PDF foul. And some of the biggest names in music were singing those lyrics while he was walking up the stage. Like, that's crazy. So I got to ask you a serious question. I need you to be real. What is Drake's legacy now since like Not Like Us?
All right, look, I say, in my opinion, he's still the GOAT in terms of hip hop artistry. MC wise, no. And because look, you can't deny the fact what he has done for hip hop. I feel like people overlook some of the things that Drake has done for hip hop. And like, he's put on some of like our favorite names, like 2021. He's put on Amigos. He's helped Lil Baby's career. Like, he's helped a lot of people's career. He's helped a lot of people within hip hop. So I feel like you can't deny that. You also can't deny the numbers. Like, come on now. He up there with Michael Jackson in terms of number ones.
It's true.
Like, you can't deny that. And even last year, after like everything that had happened, he still was the number one most streamed hip hop artist.
But that's different. I think that also is what takes the UMG case down for me. He's on every playlist across every genre.
Oh, yeah.
So your streams are going to be crazy regardless. And he still dropped. Like, Family Matters was a dope record. He still, the Kendrick beef also helped his numbers, but Drake is just always the most streamed because he just is on every playlist.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. I've said this to you before, so I'm going to say it for the wax. For me, Drake isn't a hip hop artist in the traditional sense that we look at hip hop artists. Drake, for me, is in the icon status of musicians. And I've said this before the Drake beef. I say it again. The icon status is people identify you not with your music, but with who you are. And you are able to move across genres without any questions. Beyonce, Taylor Swift, we go all the way back, right? Elvis Presley, The Beatles, James Brown, right? Michael Jackson. Ultimately, it's not even pop. It's just, you're an icon. That's where Drake is. Yeah. So for me, when we have this conversation about the greatest hip hop artist of all times, or even Drake's legacy, I'm not even thinking about Drake in the same breath as a Kendrick or a Jay-Z or a J. Cole, you know, or a Nas or whoever you want to insert into that, because I see Drake as sort of transcended hip hop, even though it was his home base.
I'm not mad at it. Like, I can see that. I will, like I said, in terms of like the lawsuits and stuff, I think it for sure hurts his legacy a bit within the hip hop stance. And that's something I definitely did not agree with that he did. And even some of the other things that he did after the whole beef went down, mm-hmm. like me mugging DeMar DeRozan, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. That was objectively, that was kind of weird.
Or even though I enjoyed Wagwan Delilah, but
stop.
Dude. Wagwan Delilah.
Stop it, Chris. That's crazy.
I was bumping it on the way here.
Nah, that's crazy, bro. Oh, man. Okay, real fast. Let's rank the big three.
All right.
I can't even take this seriously, bro.
Drake, Kendrick, Cole.
You put Kendrick at two?
Yeah.
Why you put J. Cole at three? I knew you were going to say Drake at
two. Cole was two at first before the beef, but Kendrick surpassed him because Cole backed out. And I do think, like, Cole do be talking that tough talk on his records. Like, don't nobody want to mess with him, but then he backed out, which is fine, but it's still like, dang.
We got to talk about Cole one day on this because I still got some thoughts around Cole that need to go on wax.
Hey, look, I think the big three are the greatest three of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Even over hip hop giants?
Yeah. Over Jay-Z, over Tupac, over Biggie.
Wayne. You young though, man. That one
is, Wayne is
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Are you a Zoomer? You're an old Zoomer, right?
I was born in 99.
So I think the cutoff for millennials was what? Is what? 96?
I don't know. I gotta look that up.
Man, dude. See, that's because you young, man. That's crazy to me. What a statement. What a take. Let's give Chris a round of applause.
Actually,
for that,
no. Kanye. Never mind. I thought Kanye is up there too. Kanye up there too.
Okay.
But the big three and Kanye and Wayne, that's definitely top five.
That's your top five?
You can switch out Wayne and Eminem if you want. Like that, I'm fine with that. But
you don't even have nobody from the 90s. Really? So Rakim, Jay-Z, Nas, none of these cats? Nas Illmatic is still considered in a lot of circles the greatest hip hop album of all time. Not even a breath of fresh air.
Just one. That's it. Like Nas to me is like he's the
ghost. Ghostface.
He has some of the greatest. Like he MC wise, it's not many people that can.
He didn't evolve.
Yeah, like
Andre 3 Stack, Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, 3 Stacks. Like he basically stopped making music for a very long. Same with Lauryn Hill. She has one album.
That's fair.
Like.
But Jay-Z though.
I think like Hove is like he is for sure top 10, but like I think he's a little overrated.
You see the video where it said when was Jay-Z the best rapper alive? Never. Like no. Every year he was never the best. He was longevity was always there, always made drop records, always had like the second or third best run every year.
Yeah.
But he never was the guy.
Oh.
You seen that one? You seen that
yeah, TikTok? I saw that. He never was.
I agree with it. But to say that nobody from the 90s, I put Rakim pretty comfortably in my top five. But again, I love hip hop, so
I mean,
I don't listen to a lot of secular hip hop anymore, but Rakim, for what he was able to bring for the genre and how he moved it forward lyrically, creatively, he was really ahead of his time.
That's fine, but it's so many people that I feel like have done it better, like have exceeded.
Well, this is my top five. Dylon. Don't forget Dylon. That's all I got to say. Let's move on to topic two. Oh, man. Did you ever not see that Dave Chappelle episode?
Mm-mm.
Oh, hold up, man. You haven't seen the Dave Chappelle, when he says Dylon?
Mm-mm.
It's too late. I can't even. We don't got enough time to go into all the reactions we need to go into. This is crazy. The generational conversation here is wild to me. Topic two, man. Oh, man. You haven't heard of Dylon, bro? For real?
No.
Oh, man. I feel old. I'm only 30, bro.
Dang. Crazy.
Yo, shut up. Oh, man.
AARP.
Oh, man, dude. You say AARP for 30 is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, I always say, like, bro, I hope that I'm trying to check up out of here by, like, 50. I'm not trying to have dementia and all that.
You're tracking towards ONC status, man. I know I'm already there. Apparently, at 30, I'm ONC. But you also are tracking towards ONC status. I just want to name that. It's okay, Chris. Embrace it. Hey, real fast. Hey, make sure y'all like and subscribe. If you haven't followed us yet on all podcasting platforms or social media, please, please, please follow us. Man, we gotta talk about this next one, man. Luka and AD, the greatest blockbuster deal in NBA history. Is that a fair statement? Luka and AD, the biggest blockbuster deal in US in NBA history?
Yeah, I say so.
Yeah.
Because, like, blockbuster, though, as in, like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. Why would you, a 25-year-old superstar, no, megastar, like, on the court, bro, literally just took y'all to the finals.
Yep.
And you trade him, talking about conditioning, I don't care if he, all throughout the whole game. He got y'all to the finals. Yeah. Like, come on now. I don't care.
Yeah.
Bruh, eating Twinkies on the bench. He got you to the finals. I don't care if he eating Reese's on the bench. He got you to the finals. I don't care if he eating Kit Kats, drinking Coca-Cola, eating five cheeseburgers. I don't care. He got you to the finals. And you trade him, and he's only 25 years old.
Oh, man, dude, it is crazy. It is crazy, man. I think so. To give not Twinkies.
I don't care if he lost a race to a turtle. He got you to the finals.
Man, for those listening, let me give you context for what happened, man. For those who love NBA, for those who don't, Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis are two of the biggest names in the sport today. Anthony Davis, who both are all-stars, both are all-NBA. And this has never happened. In fact, this trade was the first time in NBA history where there was a mid-season trade where two reigning all-NBA players were traded. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the full context, Anthony Davis and Luka are utter superstars. They're utter superstars. The Lakers receive Luka and then two role players. Dallas received Anthony Davis, a role player, and Max Christie, and a first-round draft pick. The Utah Jazz were also involved. Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've been trying to think about this trade and trying to process it. I don't know why the Mavericks general manager, Nico Harrison, feels so empowered by this trade.
I don't either.
They literally, yeah, you get the Lakers first round pick in 2019 or 2029, whatever. AD maybe has two more years in them knees.
If that.
Luka, regardless of how you want to justify by saying you're his conditioning or his injury history, he's 25.
Yeah.
And he has been an all-NBA perennial MVP candidate who's already reached the finals. And he's only been in the league, what, 5 years?
And you get rid of him is crazy.
It's absolutely insane. It's, dude, I've been trying to really process this, man. This is the hustler on the corner, man. This is the NBA equivalent of the parable of the man who found the treasure in the field in Matthew.
Yeah.
Where he sold everything because he knew what he got, bro. This, I was listening to this press conference and I'm like, I listened to both of them. I'm like, dude, y'all really finagled. Bro. The Lakers clearly won this one. There's no debate in my eyes.
I mean, granted, they ain't finna do nothing this year, probably in the next few years, because of course they still need to like build around Luka.
Yeah.
And as of right now, the Lakers ain't got the assets to for real like build around them.
Yeah.
Probably not until LeBron leaves, like retires or whatever. That did make me think though, like, dang, like, could we actually get like a LeBron trade? Like,
ooh.
Cause it's like that, I feel like that's the Lakers clearly telling LeBron, like, hey, we're moving on.
You think so?
Yeah. Luka and LeBron are the same type of player.
Mm.
Like, and it's like, it's clear that they're like, we're going for a younger version of you.
You. So that's a really interesting take. Maybe. I think that's true. I think, does LeBron have a no trade clause? Do you know?
I think so. I think he would have to, yeah, because he has to waive it for them to trade him. But I don't think he will. I think he's going to stay with the Lakers. But
I think LeBron knows his time is up. I don't know if that was the Lakers saying your time is up as much as they genuinely think that with Luka and LeBron and the shooters that they put around them, they got maybe a year window for a championship. And having LeBron with Luka, I think in their mind, this is my take. I think in their mind, if conditioning is your issue, who better to watch, train, practice, condition for the next however long you have LeBron, maybe the next year, year and a half, than LeBron James?
But he's 40. He ain't trying to babysit nobody.
But it doesn't mean he can't model. He's modeling that. AD is having the best year of his career, and I think it's finally because he looked at LeBron and was like, oh, like, let me take this body thing seriously. Let me take this conditioning thing seriously. Let me take care of my body seriously.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like it is kind of like telling LeBron, like, we're starting to – because think about it. AD was there because of LeBron.
That's fair.
And it's like trading away AD is now like basically saying, yo, like, we're taking back control of this.
Mm.
And
I can see that.
We are ready to kind of move on from like your experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like what LeBron and AD wanted was they were trying to still build to like win a chip within the next 2 years of like trying to say like, hey, we need a big man. So AD can play the four and stuff. But then it's like the Lakers like, nah, we just gonna trade you. And basically that was LeBron's guy. who's and AD is also
I can see that.
His agent is also Rich Paul, just like he's under Clutch Sports with along with LeBron. Mm-hmm. Like now you're trading his guy away. So I
can see
that's
that.
Why I feel like
I can see that. I'm not saying that's a terrible take. I feel like maybe even if I were to give you that, I feel like I believe the bigger thing going on here is the owners and GMs trying to get the power back in the NBA. I feel like the NBA, for better or for worse, the power has been in the hands of the players. And I feel like I know the NBA community is shocked. I know are the biggest talents in the world are shocked because this doesn't happen. This is crazy. But I think secretly maybe even Adam Silver, and I think the GMs, this more than anything else was a statement. And like I said, I hear what you're saying. I think this was a statement to say no one is untouchable. No one is untouchable. We the owners are taking the power back in the NBA from the players.
Yeah. But even if somebody is not untouchable, that don't mean it ain't a dumb trade. Like, you still gotta watch basketball and realize, yeah. Oh, like this dude, yeah. He like that. Luka is like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, to trade. Because I would see if, like, y'all just, like, we don't want to pay him the Supermax because, like, we don't see anything going anywhere. Like, he's not getting us to the place where we thought we would be by this point. Let's trade and try to start over. It's like y'all just ain't want to pay the man. And now y'all bringing up his conditioning. I feel like that's reaching for an excuse.
They did block his Supermax, which is crazy. If I'm Luka, oh my god,
that's bogus.
That's heartbreaking.
Luka better have a 40-point triple double every time he played the Mavericks.
This is, you know what's confusing about that? Mark Cuban, I think 4 or 5 years ago, said that he was asked if you had to choose between your wife and Luka Doncic. He said, I'm in the divorce lawyer's office signing the divorce papers, then getting rid of Luka. And to see, because he had to have the knowledge, right?
Maybe not, just because I know he's not full owner anymore.
Oh, is he not full owner anymore?
He sold some of his shares.
Oh, snap. I thought he still had the biggest share.
I don't know. He could be the biggest, but
that,
like,
makes a lot, because
I know he's so.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Bought some of his shares. I know he's not, like,
own the Mavs. Dude, what? Oh, man. Are you serious? Let me... Okay, he sold... Oh, man. He sold his majority stake.
Yeah.
So he genuinely... Oh, man, he was not involved in the trade at all. That's crazy.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. No wonder. That makes a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah, Mark Cuban probably wouldn't have let that go.
No. Mark Cuban wouldn't let that go because Mark Cuban is such a great businessman, regardless of his relationship with Luka. Mark Cuban understands the value of a face and the value of loyalty to the brand.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he saw Luka as the Dallas, the next Dirk. He saw Luka as Dirk.
Yeah. And the thing is, Luka planned on being with Dallas the rest of his career. Brother went and bought a house. He had just closed on a house. And then he gets traded to LA.
He just bought a $15 million Dallas home before the trade. That's crazy.
They bogus. That's why I said, if I'm Luka, bro, I'm dropping 40 on their head every time.
You think this is going to motivate Luka?
Oh, definitely.
I think Luka is about to go absolutely crazy. I don't know about this year, but I think this summer is going to be one of those summers where you're going to see Luka, like, this is his grow-up moment. This is the moment where he realizes, man, I am about to become an absolute legend.
Yeah, he finna start cooking people. Well, he was already cooking people, but he finna turn up.
I love it, man. I'm loving it. I'm all for it, man. I'm all for that. Man, it's getting late. Let's pivot to our last discussion. I know that we were supposed to talk about another topic, but I really want to get on this topic before it gets too late here tonight, and we'll save the other one for a different time. We're not going to go into that one. But, man, something that, before I say it, like and subscribe, follow, I got to say it, right? Also, take a quick note, man. We got some amazing, amazing content coming across the channel, the local show. Follow the local show now. We're going to be launching a new platform that's going to highlight incredibly talented, culture-shifting individuals in St. Louis, from St. Louis, through St. Louis, for St. Louis. And it's called The Local Show with DLW. And then me and my sister, we are finally going to get the Poetic Conversations podcast off the ground. So we're really excited about that, man. So please like, subscribe, follow. If you really are enjoying the content, you're enjoying the personality, you're enjoying the fun, you're enjoying the pause moments, all of it, man. We're going to have a blast this year building amazing content for you. But man, Chris, I feel like this topic for me is near and dear, not just to my heart, but I believe it's near and dear to your heart. So when we're talking about mental health and faith, I would love for you just to take a moment and talk a little bit about your journey. I know your story, man, but I just want you to kind of share that for the world and why this topic is near and dear to your heart.
Well, of course, my journey starts in terms of mental health. It starts with just like me when I was younger. And growing up in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, and it's pretty rough. I'm sure like most of the world knows what goes down on the south side of Chicago. Always hearing gunshots and different things like that, not really having much. And then also just dealing with certain abuse. So my mom used to have this boyfriend who put his hands on us and ended up putting us in a domestic violence homeless shelter.
Jeez.
And I just felt like, and also just dealing with the fact that, like, I just didn't know my dad at that time, like, struggling with the thoughts of, like, did he ever want me or want to be in my life, of course. And I don't know, just the pressures of just everything in life, and then just losing a lot of people in my life, which hurt a lot. Because these were some important people to me. And then, like, you fast forward, eventually me ending up in, like, a hospital because of me trying to take my life. But I remember while in the hospital, it was one nurse, her name was Sarah, and she had, like, this wristband. I asked her, like, what was on it, and she said it was Romans 8:18. And No matter your present sufferings is not worth comparing to the glory to be revealed in us. And in that moment when she like showed me her bracelet and I like and we read and I read Romans 8:18, I was just like, man, like that just stuck with me like forever, basically. That's and I feel like that's my forever verse, like the verse that like really speaks to me and my journey and really describes my journey. And what that means to me is that no matter what I'm dealing it right, dealing with right now, God has something greater for me. Rather, even if I don't see it in this life, I know He has something waiting for me in the next. And that's the important thing about it. And it's like, no matter, like, the ugliness that I come with, the baggage that I have, no matter what, like, is happening in my life, God, He is taking care of me and has something even greater than what I could even imagine waiting for me. Amen. So that's basically, like, what got me going to, like, yo, you know what? It's time to really work hard in terms of, like, fighting to like grow and fighting to like want more and fighting to want to live and like realize that like, no, I have a purpose in this life and God will reveal that to me.
That's amazing, dude. That's so good, man. I remember you living with me. And what we used to call the life house. Man, at one point we had, what, 7 dudes in that house? We had one on the couch. We had 2 downstairs. We had 2 in my room, 2 in your room. What's that, 2? That's, yeah. Yeah. And then, well, the one downstairs, one of them didn't even sleep. I'm not going to say that's my dog, but he literally couldn't sleep. He had so much trauma. He only like slept 2 hours a day. It's crazy, man. But I remember living in that house, dude. And man, can we talk honestly? Man, just being able to be there with you and for you during some of your darkest times. Literally at times grabbing knives, right? That's where you were at one point, man, where, and the mental health stuff and just, man, the things you were wrestling with emotionally, the trauma that you were still healing from at the time, and trying to be surrendered into Jesus, just getting the best of you and literally taking and wrestling knives out of your hands. Like, man, dude, I love you, man. And I think for me, and I think I've told you this, but it really forced me to look at my mental health in a way that I hadn't looked at before. I had to start identifying and looking at, I saw you were fighting for Jesus in your weakness, and even as you were getting better in terms of your mental health and choosing Jesus and continuing to choose the resources and thing God was giving you to actually listen to me, allow me to be there for you, which I think is a huge thing that we don't talk about enough with mental health, is allowing others to be there for us. Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. But you have to allow someone to be there for you. You had to allow me to hide the knives and tell you, we only have butter knives in this house. We didn't have scissors or knives, you know? But that was a season you allowed me to be there for you. And it made me realize, man, I got to allow people to be there for me. And so there were a lot of things in which I had to come to grips with. I had to come to grips with abuse that I endured. I had to come to grips with, man, depression and how I use numbing mechanisms like corn on the cob, right? And alcohol to numb from a past that I wasn't ready to confront yet. I had to go to therapy. I had to deal with myself. And I know you got to see a little bit of that And you get to hear a lot of that now, being, you know, us being now in the same small group and me having discipled and been there with you for so long now. But, man, I wanted to say, man, your journey really forced me to look at my own journey. You know, even looking at ADHD, which as a teacher, I would always say, man, everyone has ADHD. And then my wife says, also, you have ADHD, right? And thinking about mental health from that perspective and getting diagnosed and realizing, oh, I'm both hyperactive and hyper-focused. I'm both. And I got a wing of depression, right? That I actually am not producing as much dopamine neurologically as the normal human being, which explained so much to me, you know, but that journey doesn't start unless God puts you in my life. And he forced me during those moments not to just sacrificially be there for you, but I always am trying to fight to see the log in my eye. I'm always trying to fight to see. I never looked at you as less. Rather, it was in your journey. It forced me to look at my journey in a real way for the first time in my life. It changed my life. So, man, I love you, man. And I don't think I've ever said that in that way to you. But I wanted to just name that you encourage me. Your fight encouraged me much more than you realize, and it still does.
I want to say, like, I appreciate you and all the people that God has put in my life to help me, like keep going and to really fight, to want more and to want to get better and stuff. And of course, like, I'm not perfect. Like, I ain't got it all figured out right now. But I can confidently say that I'm definitely in a much better place, and I'm definitely, like, seeking, like, to really, like, grow more and continuously. And then also just, I think another thing that I think God has really been helping me on this journey with is trying to be okay with, like, taking medicine and stuff like that. Like, because it's like when you take medicine for something like mental health, you feel like, dang, what's wrong with me? Like, am I, like, some, like, weird monster or something like that? It's like, dang, I need medicine to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas everybody else, like, normal people are just normal. They don't need this extra stuff. But I for sure, like, I appreciate and thank God for people like you and Brian and Andy, just so many different people who have, like, basically helped me know that, like, yo, it is okay, and that this don't make me less of a man. Amen. Or less of a person. Amen. Or whatever, because I'm taking medicine.
Amen. Amen. Man, that's so good, man. I think there is such a stigma when it comes to mental health, particularly within the faith community, but also within the Black community and the intersection of the Black faith community, right? Where, you know, in Christian settings, you hear, you know, all you need is Jesus. That's all. That's all you need, brother. You just need some more Jesus. I know that you, and I'm joking, but this is some real stuff. I know that you almost took your life, but if you just took Christ, that energy is real, dude. Where, oh man, but then we, and I think some of this comes from rejecting.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts, real gifts, thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale, and it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love, get used to saying I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Science, some of it comes from, I think, a misinterpretation of what it means to subdue the earth when God calls us to do that. I think not all medicine is, man, you got to take all medicine, right? But it's understanding ourselves enough to know that maybe God made people smart enough to help balance chemicals in our minds. And God like gave someone a task in this world to benefit mankind through the ingenious inventions that can come through Tylenol. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's this weird stigma though, man, within Christian circles that it's almost, if we're not naturalists, if we're not holistic, then somehow we've missed the point, or even the opposite of that, right? Emotional. You don't talk about stuff. You got to be hard because you got to come off as, if you're saved, you're perfect. You know what I'm saying? If you know Jesus, then you got it all together in every way. And that's just not real. It's not. It's not. In fact, the gospel says the opposite. It's in knowing Jesus that we actually are able to deal with our weakness better. We're actually able to better acknowledge sin. It's in how it impacts us, whether it's our sin or the sin that happens to us, such as, man, we had perfect genetics and then sin came into this world and people had to die. Stuff started happening. Mental health became like a real thing. Chemical imbalances became a real thing. DNA started breaking down in ways that were imperfect. And instead of looking at it as, man, God is with us through the way his people can create and do amazing things with science, people almost look at it as we have perfect DNA. You know? But reality, like, dementia is a thing. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
What? You can't Jesus away dementia. Tell that to my friends right now. Tell that to my sister whose dad had such bad dementia that it literally was talking in circles to him, and how that broke her heart. And when and her wanting him to be saved so bad, wanting him to really know Jesus in the last part of his life, but she couldn't even get through a 30-second conversation with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't Jesus away dementia.
No, like, I feel like people do need to be real. And I also think it's not just like a black thing or like a Christian, like faith thing. I think it's also too, like, older, like a older mindset of not wanting to embrace, like, how, like, society has, like, evolved too, like,
yeah,
over the years. I do feel like that, like, idea of, like, depression doesn't exist, mental health doesn't exist or whatever. You fall down, just dust your shoulders off and get right back up. You got the, like, that kind of mentality, I feel like, is very, like, a old school way of thinking, yeah, too. And I feel like too, it's just like, at times it can come off too as like a lack of wanting to, like, evolve or like even acknowledge too, like, yo, like, people were struggling back then too, but nobody, yeah, acknowledged it.
Yeah, there was no acknowledgement.
Like, things were going on, like, it was a lot of things wrong within the society back then. Like, it was people struggling with real things, but they were always told to just be like, nah, just, like, push through.
You know what's interesting about that, Chris? And I would love to hear your perspective on this. And this might be a little bit of a hot take, but I think since I became a father And as I've grown as a man, I've realized there's the generation before ours that was hold everything in, don't say anything, be hard, just deal with it. And then there was millennials, in which we kind of swung all the way to the other side, which was feel everything, name everything, everything is valid. And I feel like there's probably some truth closer to the middle, where I think there are some things that are so feelings-based that they actually become an idol and they become a barrier to real healing. And then there's some things that, yo, you were, some terrible things happened to you when you were a kid and you've never dealt with that. No wonder, you know, no wonder you are so angry all the time, right? I think there's such a fine line. And as a dad, I look at my son and it's less about wanting him to whine, but rather wanting him to cry about the right things. You know?
Yeah, I do think that's important. I say, because, of course, you don't want to just, like, be, like, this over, like, emotional person. Because then it's, like, you come off as, like, a punk, somebody that's not strong. And someone who isn't, like, I don't know. You come off as, I don't know how to put it into words, but I can't think of the word.
I think there's intrinsic value. I'm trying to hear what you're saying. I think there is intrinsic value in well-placed tears.
Yeah.
If you are dealing with someone whose mother just passed away, it's okay to cry.
Yeah, it is.
Particularly if your mom passed away. Like, as a man, I don't know what men need to hear that. Right, the toughest man in the world, Jesus, saw his friends grieving Lazarus, who also was his friend, and he sat with him and wept. That same man, in seeing the injustice and the lack of righteousness and holiness for his father's temple, flipped tables. Like, we always talk about Jesus the man, you know, he walked in with some Tims on. And, you know, he was ready to crash out as the kid. I learned that two episodes ago. Crash out. Right. Jesus crashed out in the temple. Right. And then, but I feel like what a man is, it's so much more nuanced than you just got to perpetuate toughness or confidence. It's just knowing when the tears need to come. Yeah. And standing firm in truth, regardless of how you may feel as well.
Yeah, like, I completely agree with that. I think for sure knowing when the right time is, but then also knowing, like, okay, yeah, like, that ain't something you need to be crying about.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, come on, bro. Like,
yeah, man, you know, Kendrick Lamar won 5 Grammys for a diss track. Drake fans, y'all need to be crying. I need y'all to man up. Oh, man. Chris, man, I love you, dude.
Love you too.
This was a phenomenal episode. Thank you for coming on last minute.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
Man, if you wanted to plug anything, man, please feel free at this time.
I just want to say, like, because how we just talked about mental health, like, honestly, coming from somebody who for sure struggles with it, like, on a continuous basis, but also someone who, has grown a lot in terms of dealing and fighting with it. Like, yo, you're not alone. And, like, for anybody that's out there that feels like they're struggling, like, that's why I want y'all to know, like, you're not alone. Like, God definitely got you. Yeah. But also, like, if you just trust him and trust his teachings and allow him to guide you, he'll put those people in your life to also help you and walk alongside you.
Amen.
And just know too, amen, like, it's okay.
Yeah, for those who have been hurt because of stuff that they dealt with, mental health, I just want to add, there's an amazing Jackie Hill Perry and Preston Perry. They have this hoodie series. It says Jesus and Therapy. Right? We gotta normalize the mental health avenues that are available to us. Right? 988, which is now the national, you know, I'm bleeping that out, hotline, self-deletion hotline. And so if you are needing help, I know our church, if you're in St. Louis, have an incredible church that does Manasseh classes. I get to help lead a class called Healing is a Choice, in which we are dealing with real hurts, real trauma, real wounds, and looking at it through the lens of the gospel and helping you begin to identify the things that you need, right? It was out of that class that I realized I needed therapy. I need to go to therapy. And I think Christians, we have got to normalize healing. That it starts with Jesus and the cross. It has to start there. It has to be a recognition that we are wounded and we need a savior. And it is in that process that we begin to understand what real healing can begin to look like. And it's not just Jesus in therapy, right? Like, it's not just I go to church every Sunday. It's all of it. It has to be all of it. It has to be an invested relationship first with God. You got to begin to receive the good news of the gospel. And then as you go, you have an invested community who's able to see you well, right? That sees Chris where he's at, that sees me where I'm at. Plug into a local body that is fully committed to Galatians 6:2 and is willing to carry those burdens wherever you may be at in that health journey. And then you also have to take the positive steps to get the healing that you want. Take a healing class. Take a, go to therapy. Find the right therapist. Not all therapists are made equal. I had, quick anecdote, I had a therapist who started with the Enneagram. Apparently, I'm a number 9, for those who still follow that. But it was funny because I did keep going to that guy. But it was funny, a year later, it came out that the maker of the Enneagram wrote it with automatic writing, which is associated with the demonic. And Christians love the Enneagram. So anyways, not all therapists are made equal, but man, get the help that you need for sure. Get the help that you need for sure. That's good, man. Did you want to talk a little bit about your future? I know we got to get you back on to get an exclusive like we did Paco, but you want to talk about Beverage City a little bit and then we'll close it out.
Oh yeah. So of course, like, I've been working on this TV show based around my best friend that passed away about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Oh man.
2021. Dang, yeah, it's been crazy. But yeah, it's like based around around my best friend's name was Daniel. I just have always loved being creative and just had this idea one day and also thought, like, how could I also keep his name alive? Because he impacted my life tremendously. And I wanted to share that with the world. And Beverage City is just, like, it's kind of like a mixture of, like, VeggieTales and some other like cartoons that I might have watched when I was growing up and stuff. But it's of course using like this cool creative world where Daniel gets to go on these adventures and really learn what it means to like different things regarding the Bible and who God is. And one of the main focuses that I focus on with writing this cartoon series is the fruits of the spirit. And that's one of the big things that, like, I'm emphasizing, especially in the earlier episodes. So not completed yet, but stay tuned for sure. It should be on the way sooner than we may think. So,
hey, man. You heard it here first. Beverage City coming soon. Shout out to our brother Jarvan, who is the best voice actor you never heard of. But Chris, man, you're building a special brand. I'm really excited to continue to support you in that launch, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, we love y'all. This again is DL Will Live. We try to talk about content that is relevant to the culture, create a platform that intersect that with faith. Man, we get to do what we want here, man. And so I had a great time talking about Kendrick, Drake, Luca, and then, man, getting some really good conversation around mental health and faith. Follow us on all social media. You can follow Chris at ChrisDJM. You can follow, obviously, me at TheDLWilliams. And then, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Love, bro.
Oh, and remember Drake the GOAT.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we out. That is crazy.